Happy Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a great week so far. Let's pray, and then we will jump into the word of the Lord. I do want to take just a second to say thank you to Brother Kevin for my Christmas present that he did not need to give me. But I honor Kevin. I really, really do. And I pray God blesses him in just miraculous ways. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we honor you this morning. We thank you for being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank you, God, for everything that you've done for us. I thank you for a word that helps change us, that brings you glory. And God, this morning, I pray that you will open up our minds, but most of all, open up our hearts, that we can receive a word that will forever change us so that you receive glory, God. We thank you this morning, and I ask God in Jesus' name that you will bless Brother Kevin in some miraculous way. Yes, God, financially, but God, I pray because he sows in the natural that he will reap in the spiritual. God, I pray more peace, more jobs going easy, God. I pray for these things just to show him, just to reveal to him that you are exactly who you say, Lord. I pray that you bring him closer to you because he continues to help your people and establishes your kingdom on earth as it already is in heaven. We believe these things and we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, go ahead. Oh, yeah. I love it. Yes, sir. I heard that. Peaceful projects for sure. There's no doubt about that. The scripture this morning will come from Joshua chapter 4. I'll probably read verses 3 and 4, then skip over to 6 and 7. What I want to talk about this morning is so many times in scripture, God tells us, Old Testament, New Testament, for us to set up memorials, for us to set up reminders. And why does he tell us to do these things? And I don't know. I used to think it was just, and this is a great reason. It's to remind us of everything that he's done for us. It's to help establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It's for many, many reasons. But one of the greatest reasons that God has been revealing to me lately is that he wants us to set up memorials. He wants us to look different, to be a peculiar people, is because it causes other people to ask questions. It causes other people to look at us in a way and question, why do they do it different? You know, the same situation happened to everybody, but this man, this woman, this child, they handled it differently. So this morning, what I want to talk about and really focus on is what causes people to look at us differently? What causes people to have questions in our lives? What can we do to bring glory to God? What can we do to cause people to be curious about the kingdom of God? In Joshua chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, this is obviously the children of Israel are coming upon the Jordan River. They're trying to get to the promised land. Moses has died. God has established Joshua as the new leader of his people. God has given a word to Joshua that he said, listen, take the Ark of the Covenant. Take the priest, and as soon as their feet touch the water, the Jordan River will begin to dry up. I'll make a way out of no way. So we'll pick up right here in Joshua chapter 4, verse 3. The priests have walked up to the river. It has begun to dry up. It's began to make a path for the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 3, and command them, saying, this is God talking, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Verse 4, then Joshua called the 12 men who he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And when we jump over to verse 6, so that they've taken the stones up, and they put them where they're about to sleep tonight. And verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Brothers and sisters, it is so, so important that we set up memorials in our life. It's so important that we do the things that God tells us to do. But what I want to challenge us with this morning is, what have we set up? What have you done? What have I done in my life that causes me to remember what the Lord has done for me? What have I done in my life that's so attractive to people that they'll ask questions? When me and Alex talk to our kids about school, and sometimes Joshua gets really, really scared to ask questions, and he'll miss an answer on a test, and we'll begin to talk to him about it. And we're like, why, you know this? Why did you miss it? And he goes, well, I guess I read the directions wrong, or I didn't understand them. And we're like, well, did you ask the teacher? And he says, no. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to ask the questions. We have to be willing to answer the questions when people ask us, why do you do life this way? I know one of the things that's attractive to a lot of people in lives is when you see somebody that's financially secure. And I think it's wisdom to ask them, hey, how did you get to the position that you're in? In the middle of a pandemic, I saw God blessing people that was committed to tithing, to making sure they offered up things to God. And it blew my mind. And I began to ask them, listen, how are you so blessed? Why do you think God's choosing you to do this miraculous financial blessing through? And each time I spoke to somebody, each time I testified to what God was doing through our business and through our lives, the only answer I could give, it was because of the goodness of God. Because God set out a principle and he said, listen, if you'll be faithful to give your tithes and offerings, then I'll bless and I'll open up the windows of heaven. That's attractive to people. But people aren't going to ask us questions if we're not tithing, if we're not offering things up to God. It's not very attractive to people if we're living downtrodden all the time, or if we're not able to pay the bills. You see, I believe it is the will of God to bless us and to help us, but he has set out certain things that we have to do first. He told the priest to go stand in the River Jordan, and brothers and sisters, it wasn't when they got in the middle that it began to dry up. The Bible was very specific. It was right when their feet touched the edge of the water that God wanted to dry it up. What is God waiting on you and me for, to take that step of faith for him to perform that miracle? We want God to dry everything up. We want God to move everything before we're willing to step into it. Brothers and sisters, most of the time, God's not going to open up your finances before you're willing to tithe. A lot of times, God won't heal us. God won't heal the person that we're praying for until we're willing to open up our mouth in faith. Now, God can do whatever God wants to do, and I thank God that sometimes, despite my being dumb, he still performs a miracle. But I believe that the children of Israel set up these 12 stones, and God said, listen, the purpose of this is for when your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids, they ask you, why are these stones set up? It's for you to talk about the goodness of God. It's for you to talk about the time when there was no other way out that I made a way out. Brothers and sisters, this morning, how many of us can say, God did it? How did I get out of debt? God did it. How was I blessed when the world was going crazy, when financial things were collapsing everywhere? God did it. Another way that I believe that we can be attractive and that we can set up stones in our life, so to speak, is when we get into a situation and we're able to handle things differently than the next person. I've seen people in my life, my apostle, I've seen her lose a son and still serve God. I've seen people lose loved ones, and yes, it hurts, and yes, you cry, and yes, these things affect you, but you still keep on serving God. Instead of it hurting you from serving God, it propels you to serve the King more. Brothers and sisters, the only way somebody has the ability to do that is because God has given it to them. When I see people going through so much pain nowadays, so much just being busy, can't get anything done. And I'm like, guys, slow down. And then I look at my own life and I sit there and I can't, you know, read a book for 20 minutes some days. And I begin to talk to God about it. And I look back on my day and I'm like, what did I do that was so important that I couldn't give God the time? And every single time the answer is absolutely nothing. We have to choose to spend that alone time with God so that people can see that. Because I promise you, if you're not building your relationship with God when nobody else is around, when life comes, when the waves come, when the adversities come, life is way harder without God than it is with Him. But I see certain people in my life that adversity comes and another adversity comes and they still have a smile on their face. And I say, listen, how did you do it? And the first answer they give me is it's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. You see, the world beats us down and the world makes us feel depressed sometimes or too busy or worried. But when we have God on our side, that's the times that we can have that inner peace. See, Brother Kevin just confirmed my word this morning when he said, listen, we'll definitely accept financial blessings, but it's those peaceful jobs. It's those peaceful moments. Every person that I know that has finances and is financially blessed will tell you every single time, myself included, that I would rather have peace than more money. I would rather have comfort. I would rather have time with my family, time with God, than any other financial blessing. Why? Because peace means more than finances. Because if I have peace, then I have greater riches than finances. Brothers and sisters, we have to live a life that's attractive to people so that they ask these questions. So that they want to know, how did you do it? Because when they ask the questions, God is the one that's always going to get the glory. When the children of Israel's kids and grandkids and great-grandkids would ask these questions about why are these stones in this place, it forced the children of Israel to look back and to say, listen, God was so good. It forced them to look back and say, listen, we were trying to get to a destination. We were trying to get to a promise of God, but we had to face adversity. If anybody tells you in this life that you won't have to face adversity, I'm just sorry, that's not the truth. If people tell you that you won't have to face some hard times, then you might want to listen to somebody else. But I can say that when I go through something with God, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When I go through something with God, that He is the joy of my heart. He is the rock of my salvation. And brothers and sisters, I have good news this morning that when people ask you how and why you do the things that you do, if you'll always point back to God, then I promise you God will be right there to open up a way out of no way. You see, I think God is sitting there like a good father. He's wanting us to share His goodness. He's wanting us to tell people of His mighty acts because He wants to perform miracles in our lives. But you and I are sometimes the ones that hold them up. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, there's a question that Jesus asked His disciples. Matthew chapter 16, we'll start here at verse 15. Matthew 16, 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? The disciples had asked Jesus or answered Jesus' questions when they said, listen, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're one of these prophets and some say this. And Jesus asked the question to at least 12 other men. The Bible is very, very, very specific when He says that He asked them a question. He says, but who do you guys say that I am? And Peter in verse 16 says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was said, listen, I asked all y'all a question, but Simon Peter, you're the one that piped up. You're the one that gave the answer. Why are you the one that's able to answer it? And the truth is because Simon Peter had a revelation from God. Simon Peter understood that, listen, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus was very specific. The only way he knew that was because it was revealed to him by God. Brothers and sisters, I think this morning the greatest testimony that you and I can give to people when they ask us questions about our life, when they notice things are a little different in our lives, when they notice that we are a peculiar people, is that we can tell them, listen, I don't understand everything, but I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and his church is built upon that revelation. God's waiting on you and me to be able to answer these questions so that people can come into the kingdom of God. Our actions will truly, truly speak louder than our words, but it's our actions that will get people to be curious about our lives. It's our actions that will get people to be kind of nosy about our lives. People want an answer of hope. People want an answer for an expected end. They're looking to drugs. They're looking to TikTok or social media or whatever it may be. And we have the answer. The answer is Jesus. I thank God this morning that when the priest stepped in that river, that the river began to subside. And what I love about God that I actually learned just this morning is that when the priest walked up to the River Jordan, usually the width of the river was about 100 feet wide. But the Bible, when you go back and read the story, says that it was a time of harvest. So it was the flood stage. And most scholars believe that it was at least a mile wide at the time of harvest, at the flood stage. And for God to dry up the river when it was 100 feet wide, man, that's a powerful miracle. But I thank God that he allowed the people to see how hard the thing was. I thank God that if he would have dried it up at 100 feet wide, it would have been a miracle, but he chose to dry it up when it was at least a mile wide. In closing this morning, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter to me what you're facing. It doesn't matter to me what I'm facing as long as God is on our side. Because it could be a small problem, just 100 feet wide, or it could be at least a mile wide. But God is more than able to make a way. God is more than able to heal. God is more than able to deliver. God is more than able to do whatever it is that you're asking him for. But you have to have his presence. You have to have the gift, the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit. God's salvation is only in his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You receive everything that you stand in need of. This morning, brothers and sisters, it's okay to be standing on the side of that river, because I know I do a lot of times. Scared to step in, but I hope this word encourages you to take that step of faith. And if that step of faith is tithing, so be it. If that step of faith is sowing into somebody, so be it. If that step of faith is praying for somebody, even though everybody in the room thinks you're weird, so be it. You see, I've prayed for a lot of people that before that moment happened, not many people believed what I believed. I've been in situations that I prayed for people and you could have cut the awkwardness with a knife, but I still prayed. And every time I prayed, God changed the situation. God's waiting on you and me to take his presence into a place that maybe it's never been before. God's waiting for you to take that step of faith. God's waiting for me to take that step of faith. And as soon as we step, he'll begin to perform. This morning, brothers and sisters, I honor God for being who he is in each one of our lives. I thank him that he is the chief cornerstone. I thank him that no matter how hard the world gets, no matter how confused, no matter how bad our kids or our husbands or our wives or whoever it may be act in our lives, I thank him that he is the chief cornerstone. And the gates of hell will never prevail against him. when the children of Israel stepped in to the Jordan River that day, they were protected, not because God was necessarily there shining a bright light. They were protected, they were taken care of, not necessarily because God was on the other side bidding them to come that way. Why were they so protected? Why were they so taken care of? It's because their heavenly Father spoke a word to them. He said, listen, on that day when the priests step into the river, it's going to dry up. God doesn't look at the width of the river and get scared. God doesn't look at the level of cancer and get scared. God doesn't look at the adversity in your and my life and that bother him at all. God is not scared of different stages of things or different difficulties of things. He sees it all as the same. He's God. There's not a war going on necessarily. God's already the victor. God's waiting for us to catch up to the revelation that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. God is waiting for us to catch up and say that victory is in the name of Jesus. God is waiting for us to raise the dead. God is waiting for us to manifest his spirit on earth as it is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, if you have received Jesus as your personal Savior, God has called you blessed. He's called you the head and not the tail. He's called you above and not beneath. He has given a word associated to you that will stand the test of time. Just like he told the children of Israel, once you go, I'll take care of it. He's telling me and you, once you believe, I'll take care of it. Once you listen, I'll take care of it. He's a good father. I know that when I tell my kids, hey, listen, when you get done with your homework, you can go do this, that, and the third. And when they're done with their homework, they can go do this, that, and the third because the Father gave them a word. And if they're willing to listen to the word, then there's blessings inside of that. The children of Israel stepped into the river that day, a mile wide at least. And there was blessings inside of that word that was associated with them. We live under a better covenant. We live under a greater covenant. It's a covenant of grace, of mercy, of love, of redemption. And God's waiting for us to take that step. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that if we wrestle with finances, God, that this morning we can begin to take that step of faith and tithe, God. I thank you that if we wrestle with sickness or whatever it may be, that we can take that step of faith and anoint ourselves with oil and pray a prayer of faith and watch you perform a miracle. God, help us to step out of our comfort zone. Help us to step out of the things that we've been doing because God, if we've been doing the same thing over and over and it's not working, then maybe it's time we do something different. God, maybe it's time that we understand that you gave us a word and you are a good, good father. You're not a God sitting in heaven with lightning bolts ready to throw them down. You're good. You're a God full of love and grace and mercy and comfort. God, I know you are who you say you are. And I thank you this morning for my brothers and sisters in this call that will hear this message. And God, I pray for an anointing to come upon their life, that they're willing to do it a different way, that they're willing to step out in faith and sow. They're willing to step out in faith and tithe. That we're willing to step out in faith and believe in spite of everything else, God. And when people ask us questions, Lord, I pray that you will give us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge to answer the questions that people may have in our lives. But most of all, I pray, God, that they see hope. God, we are hopeful in you, and we believe these things because you told us. God, you told us that you love us. You told us that you forgive us, and that's enough. We honor you this morning, and we praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.